You know that feeling when you're sitting in the back of a taxi, stuck in just absolute gridlock traffic,
Oh, yeah.
and you're just sitting there watching the meter tick up and up, and you aren't actually moving forward at all?
It is a very specific, deeply frustrating type of financial anxiety. You're paying strictly for time with zero actual forward momentum to show for it.
Exactly. And that is precisely what building an AI business can feel like right now. If you aren't paying close attention to your architecture. So welcome to today's deep dive.
Glad to be here.
If you are a developer or a founder or really just an AI enthusiast building a product in 2026, this conversation is tailored directly for you. Because our mission today is to unlock the actual potential of Claude Code and, more importantly, stop you from burning through your runway on just like basic inefficiencies.
Which happens so much faster than most teams realize. I mean, the default settings in these CLI environments are incredibly capable, sure, but they are absolutely not optimized for cost. If you just open the terminal and start prompting, you're going to see that token meter spin completely out of control.
Yeah, and to help us navigate this, we are pulling apart a really fascinating new article from popularatools.ai. It was written by their AI infrastructure lead, Wayne McDonald, and it breaks down five specific new Claude Code skills that are quietly transforming the industry workflow.
It's a great piece.
It really is. And McDonald frames the whole piece around this pretty striking idea. He says, running Claude Code right out of the box without these specific tools is like driving a Formula One car in first gear.
Yeah, I love that analogy because the raw power of the engine is undeniably there, right? It's roaring. But because it's not geared correctly for the track, you aren't hitting top speeds and you are just vaporizing premium fuel.
Right. And in our ecosystem, that premium fuel is tokens. Every time you force the model to process noisy data or make it run a mundane, repetitive task, you are watching that taxi meter tick up. So we're going to look at how these five tools tackle the biggest friction points in the development cycle.
From early research all the way to code-based navigation.
Exactly. And how stacking them fundamentally alters your return on investment. So where do we start?
Well, the most logical place to start is before a single line of code is ever written.
Right, the research phase.
Exactly. Any AI business needs market intelligence first. You have to understand the landscape, your competitors, the underlying data of the problem you're trying to solve. And historically, injecting that kind of broad multi-source context into an AI model has been a massive financial bottleneck.
Okay, let's unpack this because I think people take the context window for granted. If I want Claude to understand, say, a 50-page industry report or transcripts from 20 different YouTube videos, the standard approach is just to upload all of it into active prompt, right?
Yeah, that's the brute force method. But you are paying for every single token in those documents just to give the model its baseline context.
Which adds up.
Fast. If that takes up 100,000 tokens, you pay for that. And here is where the math gets really brutal. If you ask a follow-up question, the model has to reprocess that entire 100,000 token context window again to generate the next answer.
Oh, wow. So you pay for it every single time you hit enter.
Every single time.
Okay. Which brings us to the first tool McDonald highlights, the Notebook LM skill. And this essentially acts as a programmable research team, right? You load your 300-plus sources into a Notebook LM project, you connect it to Claude Code, and suddenly querying that massive mountain of data costs exactly $0 in tokens.
The architectural shift here is brilliant. Notebook LM handles all the heavy lifting, the indexing, the vector search, the actual comprehension of the
And it
document.
does all that on Google's infrastructure.
Exactly. So by linking it via this skill, Claude isn't actually reading those 50 PDFs. Claude is simply sending a short text query over to Notebook LM.
I see.
Yeah, so Notebook LM does the localized thinking, synthesizes the answer, and hands a clean, concise summary back to Claude. The massive context window on your end stays completely empty.
You bypass the token tax entirely. That's incredible. But looking at the setup instructions in the article, there is a pretty significant catch here.
Yeah, there's always a catch.
Right. To make this connection, the skill relies on an unofficial API. It actually requires the developer to pull session cookies directly from their browser to authenticate. I mean, isn't that one browser per machine friction a bit fragile for a serious team workflow.
Oh, absolutely. And McDonald is very upfront about that limitation. Mm-hmm. If you are an engineering lead trying to build an automated enterprise scale pipeline where 50 developers need programmatic simultaneous access to the same research backend,
yeah,
this specific unofficial integration is going to break.
Right.
The cookies expire, the sessions time out, and you'll be spending your afternoon troubleshooting authentication errors instead of shipping features.
Which completely defeats the purpose of an optimization tool.
It does. However, we need to look at who actually benefits from this trade-off. For an individual solo founder or a developer scooping out the architecture for a new project over the weekend, the slight friction of copying a browser cookie once a day is an unbeatable price for zero-cost research at scale.
That's a fair point.
You can spin up a notebook on a competitor's entire documentation library, ask Claude to generate a massive cinematic overview or a technical gap analysis, and your token bill quite literally remains at zero. The value of that capability for the individual far outpaces the jankiness of the setup.
So it's a sniper rifle for the solo architect, not a machine gun for the whole infantry.
Exactly.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So once we have our foundational research, the next hurdle is pulling live data from the web. Which brings us to the reality that the modern internet is an absolute nightmare for language models to read.
Yeah, McDonald uses the term HTML soup, which is a highly accurate description of what the web looks like beneath the surface.
Because when we browse a site, we see clean text and images. But if you tell Claude to scrape a page to find, say, a competitor's pricing tiers, it has to ingest everything.
Everything. The navigation menus, the cookie banner pop-up.
The tracking pixels.
Right, the massive blocks of React boilerplate, the JavaScript hydration tags that haven't even loaded the data yet.
And you are paying Anthropic for every single character of that digital debris. It dilutes the model's attention and it burns your budget. Which is where the second skill, Firecrawl, changes the equation.
Right.
But before we get into what Firecrawl does, the article mentions plugging it in as an MCP connector. For anyone who hasn't been deep in the Anthropic documentation lately, we should probably clarify what that actually means.
Good idea. So MCP stands for Model Context Protocol. It's an open standard that essentially acts as a universal plug-and-play system for AI models. Instead of writing custom API wrappers every time you want Claude to talk to an external database or a web scraper, an MCP connector provides a standardized, secure pathway for the model to reach out, grab data, and bring it back into your terminal.
It's like a universal USB port for AI tools.
That's exactly what it is. So, you plug Firecrawl in via MCP, and think of Firecrawl as a high-powered industrial strainer.
I love that. So you have this noisy, messy haystack of an internet.
Right, and when you ask Claude to scrape a URL, Firecrawl intercepts that request. It goes to the web page, renders the JavaScript, and strips out all the tracking scripts, the ads, and the visual noise.
Ooh, it cleans it up.
It reshapes that chaotic HTML soup into pristine, structured data, usually clean markdown or JSON, before Claude ever even sees it.
And the token savings here are profound.
Yeah.
McDonald notes that using Firecrawl reduces token consumption by up to 80% compared to raw HTML scraping.
80% is a massive number. Let's ground that in a practical example, like a lead generation system.
Yeah.
Say you tell Claude Code, go find 20 leads in the AI healthcare niche. Firecrawl goes out, hits the targeted sites, pulls the names, the emails, and the relevant company facts, and delivers a perfectly formatted JSON file.
Right. Because the data arrives perfectly structured, Claude doesn't have to waste its expensive cognitive reasoning trying to deduce where an email address is buried inside 10 nested div tags.
Exactly. The data is already AI ready. And we have to remember, data scraping isn't usually a one-time setup task, right? It's a continuous daily operation for many applications.
Yeah, that's true.
So slicing 80% off a daily recurring cost fundamentally extends the runway of your business.
Okay, so we've gathered our research for free, and we're scraping structured data for pennies. Now we actually have to build the application interface.
Ah, yes.
And there's a funny, slightly painful truth about language models right now. They're incredible at writing back-end logic, but they have zero intrinsic taste.
None at all.
Left to its own devices, an LLM will build you a user interface that looks like a forgotten GeoCities page from 1998.
It's a fascinating limitation, honestly. LLMs are next token predictors. They understand the syntax of CSS and HTML, but they don't have eyes.
Right.
They don't inherently grasp the subtle spatial relationships between typography, negative space, and color theory that make an interface feel premium.
They just kind of guess?
Yeah, they tend to hallucinate CSS variables, mix up padding logic, and just generally lose track of color hex codes across different components.
Which is where the third tool, Awesome Design MD, steps in. Now, this is essentially a curated library of 68 different markdown files, each containing the complete design system of a major brand.
Yeah, we're talking Apple, Claude's own interface, Lamborghini, Luma Labs.
Wow. And you just paste the GitHub repo into Claude code, and suddenly the model has a rigid aesthetic framework.
This completely solves the hallucination problem. Instead of vaguely prompting Claude to make it look modern like Apple, which forces the model to guess at weights and values, you are feeding it the literal architectural blueprint.
Exact specifications.
Exactly. The markdown file acts as an anchor in the context window. It forces the LLM to pull from a strict palette of predefined hex codes, typography scales, and flexbox rules. You basically bypass weeks of a human designer building mood boards and tweaking CSS variables.
But if we follow that logic, there is an obvious trap here, right? If 10,000 developers all download this tool and use the Apple or Lamborghini markdown template, aren't we just going to flood the internet with an army of identical cookie-cutter clones? I mean, nobody stands out.
That is a very real risk if you treat the tool as a one-click solution. But McDonald's pro tip in the article addresses this directly.
Okay, what is it?
The power of having these 68 design systems isn't about cloning one of them. It's about iteration speed. The optimal workflow is to run 4 or 5 different design systems simultaneously in separate local environments.
Oh, interesting. So you're generating the interface using like the clean, minimalist Apple system, the aggressive dark mode Lamborghini system, and maybe a playful sauce fintech system all at the exact same time.
You review them side by side, identify which underlying brand geometry naturally fits the product you're building, and you use that as your baseline.
So you don't just ship it as is?
No, you don't ship it. You use it as a highly professional starting point to prompt further custom refinements. It cures the blank page syndrome.
Right. You start from a place of professional aesthetic cohesion rather than spending 3 days arguing with Claude about button padding.
Exactly.
You're basically skipping the awkward teenage phase of the design process.
I love that approach. All right, so the application looks beautiful and it functions well, but as it succeeds and scales, the code base itself becomes a beast.
Oh, it always.
You go from 10 files to hundreds of files. When you open a fresh Claude code session in a massive repository, what is the model actually doing to understand how everything connects?
By default, it's essentially doing a linear search. It has to walk door to door, opening files, reading the imports, and grepping through directories to figure out the architecture.
That sounds slow. It is an incredibly inefficient, token-heavy process that results in very slow response times when you ask it to build a new feature.
McDonald uses a great metaphor for this. Here's where it gets really interesting. He says to think of your code base as a sprawling city. If Claude is wandering the streets looking for a specific address, you're paying for every step. The fourth tool, Graphify, solves this by basically building a subway system for your AI.
Yes. It turns over 25 different programming languages into visual, multimodal knowledge graphs.
So instead of forcing the model to read raw code files to understand dependencies, Graphify analyzes the repository and identifies what it calls guard nodes.
You can think of these as the grand central stations of your code base, the core routing files, the main database schemas, the central state managers.
So when Claude needs to understand how a specific authentication feature works, it doesn't have to read every file in the directory.
No, it queries the knowledge graph, hits the guard node, and rides the subway line directly to the exact 3 files it actually needs to modify.
That's incredible. And the efficiency gains here are difficult to overstate. The article cites that navigating via these knowledge graphs can make code base queries up to 70 times cheaper.
70 times!
Because the model is reading a highly compressed map of relationships rather than reading the entire city block.
Mm.
But we should probably look at the practical limitations here, because Graphify isn't for every single project, right? Building that map requires computation.
It does. Generating a multimodal knowledge graph requires analyzing every dependency and abstract syntax tree in your project. If you are building a simple 10-file weather app over the weekend,
right,
the computational overhead of generating that graph will actually take longer and cost more than the tokens you'd save.
Like you said, you don't build a subway system for a tiny village. You just walk across the street.
Exactly. The article specifies this is an enterprise-grade optimization tool strictly designed for repositories scaling past 500 files.
Okay, so it's strictly a tool for scale. Got it. Okay, so our data is flowing, the app looks incredible, and our massive code base is mapped efficiently. But the app is live, which means you are now doing daily maintenance. You're writing boilerplate code, updating documentation, maybe tweaking a single localized function.
And this is exactly where development teams quietly bleed their budgets dry.
Because of the default settings.
Yeah, the default behavior in the Anthropic CLI is to use your authenticated API key, which typically routes every single request to their premium models, like Claude Opus.
Which is the equivalent of using a supercomputer to do basic arithmetic.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need a Formula One engine to park a car.
That's a great way to put it.
You can use a Fiat Punto for that. You don't need the massive cognitive overhead of an elite model to write a standard README file. You can use a much smaller, cheaper model.
Mm.
And that is the exact problem the final skill, the Claude Code Router, is built to solve.
The router is a really fascinating piece of local architecture. It operates as a proxy running directly on your machine.
When you type a command into the Claude Code Terminal, the CLI interface fully believes it is sending that request straight to Anthropic's premium servers.
But it's not.
Nope. The router intercepts the API call locally and reroutes it via OpenRouter to a massive marketplace of different, highly specialized models, depending on the complexity of your prompt.
Let's look at the numbers here, the financial reality of this. Claude Opus 4.6 is currently priced around, what, $15 per million input tokens and a steep $75 per million output tokens.
Right.
If you are doing heavy architectural work, it is worth every penny. But if you configure the router to send your simple repetitive tasks to a model like Kimi K2.6, you instantly save 88%.
It's massive.
And if you route it to DeepSeek V4, the savings hit a staggering 98%.
You are transforming a static, premium-priced environment into a dynamic, free-market routing system. You pay absolute pennies for the mundane chores, reserving the $75 premium strictly for when you need elite reasoning capabilities.
But looking at the broader architecture we've just built, this raises a massive technical red flag for me. Yeah, if we are using all these MCP connectors, like Firecrawl, those tools are specifically formatted to talk to Claude. If the router suddenly intercepts the prompt and hands it to a Gemini model, doesn't the whole pipeline just shatter?
That is an excellent point, and it's the exact warning McDonald highlights in the text. This raises an important question about tool calling. It comes down to how different models handle those tools.
Okay.
Anthropic has established a very strict, specific XML-based schema for how its models trigger external tools and parse the returning data. Other models, particularly the Gemini family, utilize different structures. They often rely on JSON formats, or they just struggle with strict schema adherence and end up hallucinating the function calls entirely.
Right. So when Gemini tries to talk to a Claude-specific tool, the formatting mismatches, the local parser panics, and the script just crashes.
Exactly. It's not a magic bullet where you can just permanently route everything to the cheapest model and walk away.
So what's the play?
The required strategy here is selective deployment. You utilize the router for isolated, plain text coding tasks, generating components, writing tests for a single file, documenting logic.
Mundane stuff.
Yeah, but you strictly enforce routing back to Opus for the heavy lifting complex multi-file refactors or any workflow that relies heavily on MCP tool calling where structural integrity is absolutely paramount.
It's about using the right tool for the job, which brings us to the overarching thesis of McDonald's article. Individually, an 88% discount on routine tasks or a 70x speedup in code-based navigation are fantastic optimizations.
Definitely.
But the true paradigm shift happens when these five skills are stacked together into a cohesive, single workflow.
Let's visualize what that optimized pipeline actually looks like in practice for an AI business in 2026.
Yeah, let's walk through it.
A founder begins their sprint. They need to understand a new market sector. So step one, they deploy the Notebook LM skill, instantly synthesizing hundreds of dense competitor PDFs and videos, paying exactly $0 in tokens.
Step two, they need the live data. So they deploy Firecrawl via MCP, scrape competitor pricing tiers, and feature matrices. The HTML soup is stripped away, returning clean JSON, slashing scraping costs by 80%.
Step three, they need a prototype interface. Instead of staring at a blank screen or fighting with CSS hallucinations, they pull an aesthetic foundation from Awesome Design MD. They generate a professional, brand-aligned UI in minutes.
Step four, as that prototype gains traction and scales into a massive repository with hundreds of interconnected files, they activate Graphify. The knowledge graph maps the architecture, allowing Claude to navigate the expanding city 70 times cheaper.
And finally, step five, to manage the daily grinding maintenance of this growing application, they engage the Claude Code Router. Routine file generation and documentation are intercepted and handled by cheaper models, dropping daily operating costs by up to 88%.
And here's why this matters directly to you building your app right now. Your muscle memory doesn't actually have to change.
That's the best part.
Right. You never leave the terminal.
Right.
You are still sitting in the exact same Claude code interface, using the same slash commands you already know. There is no new massive software suite to learn here.
Well,
by stacking these tools, you're dramatically collapsing your operating costs while simultaneously expanding what you're technically capable of building. You have finally taken that F1 car out of first gear and put it on the open track.
It represents a fundamental maturation in how we manage AI resources. But, you know, looking at the stack as a whole, it leaves us with a rather profound question about the near future of development.
Ooh, where does this lead us?
Well, if the financial cost of elite research is practically eliminated, and data gathering is perfectly structured for pennies, and navigating massive code bases is mathematically solved, and basic reasoning is approaching zero cost through these routed optimizations, what actually becomes the true bottleneck for AI businesses going forward?
Wow.
If the friction of execution is entirely removed, does the only remaining limit simply become human imagination?
That is a fascinating reality to consider. If anyone can execute perfectly and cheaply, the entire game shifts to what you decide to build, not how hard it is to build it. We'll leave you with that to mull over. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep optimizing, keep exploring, and we'll catch you next time.